Hi, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Carrie Simpson, and I work for the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans. I want to thank you all so much for participating in today's call on Becoming an Employment Network. Today's call is co-hosted by our partners at the National Veterans Technical Assistance Center at the Burton Blatt Institute, located at Syracuse University, as well as our colleagues at Maximus. In response to multiple grantee requests for guidance on the EN process, NCHV and NVTAC worked with Maximus to organize an introductory call on becoming an EN in November. Since that call, we have received requests for more in-depth information on this process. Today's call will briefly cover what was discussed on November 9th, followed by a presentation on further detail on becoming an EN. If you did not participate in the call on November 9th, you can still access the presentation and audio on the NCHV website by clicking on the links underneath today's presentation labeled Presentation and Audio for 11-9-11. I'd like to briefly take a minute to go over the logistics for today's call. If at any time you have any questions, please email me at ksimpson@nchv.org. That's ksimpson@nchv.org. Today's call will approximately last an hour with time at the end for Q&A. I want to make sure that everyone has access to today's materials as well. If you do not have the presentation up in front of you, please visit our website, www.nchv.org, and click on the gray box that is outlined in red on the right side of the screen, entitled NCHV Conference Calls. Here, you can click on the link entitled Presentation 12-15-11. Again, if you do not have the presentation up in front of you, please visit our website, nchv.org, and click on the gray box that is outlined in red on the right side of the screen entitled NCHV Conference Calls. You can click on the link entitled Presentation 12-15-11. A link to this webpage was also included in the reminder email we sent to you this morning. I'll give everybody a chance to do this. Okay, great. We will end today's call with a question and answer session. If you would prefer to submit your questions privately or if we run out of time, you can always email me at ksimpson@nchv.org and we will get back to you. Once the call has been completed, we will compile a list of commonly asked questions and post their answers on our website. Again, if there are any questions at any time, please email me at ksimpson@nchv.org. Our presenters today are from Maximus, which provides technical assistance on the EN program for the Social Security Administration. Greg Bell is the Senior Account Manager with the Technical Assistance and Support Center. Meg Little is the Account Manager with the Technical Assistance and Support Center. We are pleased to have them both with us today, and they've put together a great presentation for you all. In addition, we have John Rio with us. John is an advocate for human potential and is also a partner in our efforts to serve the HVRP grantees through the NVTAC. John has been working to advance employment opportunities and reduce barriers for homeless veterans for many years, and we thank him for bringing his expertise to bear in this and many other subject areas. John, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Thanks, Carrie. As you did, I'd like to welcome participants to this conversation. And I am very glad that there are HVRP programs that are pursuing becoming an employment network. As people know that an HVRP program works with and coordinates with a lot of organizations in the community for the benefit of homeless veterans and trying to end veteran homelessness in their respective communities. So I'm glad that you're part of this call. And as you know, becoming an employment network is an expectation for grantees of the Department of Labor's Homeless Veterans Reintegration Program, as it's stated in the DOL-SGA. So we think that becoming an employment network is a component to the variety of things that you do. And while not every veteran is a recipient of Social Security benefits, there is an intersection where some veterans do receive those benefits and are ticket holders and can benefit from your services. At the same time, it's a structure for HVRP programs to generate revenue to support their services. So again, welcome and thank you, and this should be a very productive call for you.
Great. Thank you, John. And with that, I just want to remind everyone again that I will be checking my email throughout the presentation, so if you have any questions, please email me at ksimpson@nchv.org. And with that, Greg and Meg, I think we're ready to get started.
Okay. And Carrie, thank you for that introduction. And I want to thank the grantees for participating in this teleconference on how to become an employment network. First, I'm going to give a brief overview of the ticket program for any grantees that didn't have the opportunity to participate in the November webinar, and then Meg will talk about the requirements of the RFQ. And like Carrie said, this contract provides support to service providers through technical assistance and the support center, as well as payments, training, and administrative functions. So, to give a little background on the Ticket to Work program, you know, what is the ticket? The Ticket to Work program was signed into law in 1999 to provide employment preparation and placement services for individuals with disabilities. To participate in the program, the beneficiary must be between the ages of 18 through 64 and must be currently receiving benefits, Social Security Disability Insurance, that's SSDI, or Supplemental Security Income, which is SSI. And both of those are cash benefits. Let me describe to you, you know, what an employment network is and kind of get a little bit more into the ticket. An employment network, or an EIN, is a qualified organization that has entered into an agreement with SSA to provide or coordinate employment services, vocational rehabilitation services, or other support services to beneficiaries. This is important. There is no actual or physical ticket. As a result, no physical document is needed for the beneficiary to participate. So you may be asking yourself, you know, so why should a beneficiary participate in this program? And there are some real good reasons, and I'll give you a few of them. First, while the ticket is assigned, the beneficiary receives protection from continuing disability reviews, or CDRs. When a beneficiary is receiving benefits from the government, that person has to have his or her condition checked periodically to ensure that he or she is still eligible to receive benefits. The CDRs are these periodic checks. When the ticket is assigned, that beneficiary does not have to go through these reviews, meaning that there is no threat that the beneficiary will lose his or her benefits while working towards self-sufficiency. Beneficiaries can also earn income while working and still receive disability payments. As the beneficiary progresses through the program, he or she will begin to earn enough to no longer require disability payments. You know, at that point, or this point, the beneficiary is earning more than what he or she would have been by collecting disability income. So let's talk a little bit about why the ticket program is a good fit for HRVP grantees. Veterans and their families make up or represent about 40% of adult Social Security beneficiaries. Many are already receiving disability benefits and would be eligible if they applied. Really, a significant number of those open cases are already open with state rehabilitation of VR agencies. So, really, I guess, so in short, you know, these individuals, you're already serving them. So it just kind of makes sense that the Ticket to Work program becomes an extension of what you're already doing. For those who are following along with the PowerPoint, the presentation, on page 5, there's a flow chart that really kind of walks you through and takes you through how the ticket works. And, you know, I want to kind of, you know, talk about that for a little bit. You know, as an EIN, in the first, you know, points you see is EN and Ticket Holder Connect. And as an EN, there are several ways to connect with ticket holders. Ticket holders who utilize the EN directory can call the EN themselves. ENs can receive referrals from community agencies. However the connection is made, this is probably the most important time not to only offer a good impression of your organization, but to gather as much information about the beneficiary as you possibly can. This ensures your organization will be able to provide the services necessary for the beneficiary to reach his or her goal. Now, once you've done that, once you determine that the ticket holder is essentially a good match for your organization, you'll need to check to see if their ticket is assignable. This step is important because if the ticket is not assignable, then you will not be able to collect payment for your services. In order to check ticket assignability, you'll have to call the task helpline, and that number is 1-866-875. And we can give you that number again at the end of the presentation. But when you do call, be prepared to provide your DUNS number, name of the organization, contact phone number, and the ticket holder's Social Security number. So once you've gone through that and determined that, you know, the ticket is assignable and that there is a match between the services your EN provides and the needs of the beneficiary, you'll want to negotiate a individual work plan, or what we call an IWP. The individual work plan essentially is a contract between the beneficiary and the EN. And basically, it's an agreement between the two parties that lays out the actions both will take in order to reach a successful work outcome for the beneficiary. The IWP details the goals of the beneficiary and what services will be provided to meet these goals. The IWP, is located at yourtickettowork.com under forms. And I know at the end of the presentation, Meg will give out some information about regional account managers. So if you have questions about how to fill out the IWP, she can give that information to you, and you can contact your regional account manager, and they can help walk you through that process. And I want to talk about payments. And, you know, the thing about payments is that there are a few different options that ENs have when it comes to payments. The first two payment options are those that are associated with the Ticket to Work program and are available to employment networks and VRs acting as employment networks. The EN can choose either payment method, but this is important, but it uses that method for all beneficiaries it assists. You know, now, you do have an option once a year to change that, but only the tickets that are accepted by the EN after the change date will follow the new method. Tickets enacted before the change will follow the old method. So let's talk about specifics as it relates to payments. And the first one I want to touch on is outcome-only payments, and that payment method or that payment option. Now, under the outcome payments method, the EN receives payments only after the beneficiary cash payments have ceased. The payment schedule, and if you're following on the PowerPoint, we're now on page 7. You can see it right there listed, up to 60 payments of $411 for a total of $24,660. That's SSI, and for SSDI, it's up to 36 payments of $714 for a total of $25,704. But typically, this method is preferred by ENs who work with beneficiaries who have worked for a long time or were somehow disabled and need to maybe need some retooling or some help in order to return to work. The benefit of this approach, if successful, is the overall payout, like I said, is a little bit higher than the milestone outcome method. Now, the milestone outcome payment option, most ENs actually choose this option. Under the milestone outcome method, the EN is able to receive payouts for steps taken by the beneficiary to become self-sufficient, as well as when the beneficiary's cash payments cease. The benefit to this method is that the ENs receive payments more quickly and for only partial completion. Now, the trade-off is that, you know, the EN cannot receive as much money overall as they would under the outcome method. The payments received by the EN depend on what the phase of the program the beneficiary is in, as well as what milestone the beneficiary has received. So, like I said, most ENs actually choose this one because, you know, they can get paid in steps and in phases and milestones instead of waiting till the end. But, you know, that's really your choice. Just remember, whichever one you decide to use or choose, you have to choose that for all of your beneficiaries, and you only get to change once a year. And that's really the overview. Like I said, if you have some more questions, I didn't want to go into, you know, too much detail and give you too much, but just kind of give you a refresher for those individuals, like I said, who maybe didn't participate in the first webinar, give you some background information before May goes into the requirements of the RFQ. But by all means, if you have questions, we do have a Q&A after this, and if you have questions after that, feel free to contact your regional account managers. Now, having said that, I'm going to turn it over to Meg and let her talk about the requirements of the RFQ and becoming an employment network.
Hi, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us today. I'm going to talk with you a little bit about what the process is like to become an employment network. So I know we gave you some general information about Ticket, but one of your first steps that you need to do is actually download the RFQ. So if you take a look at your presentation, or if you don't have it in front of you right now, take a look at it later. We did provide you with a link to download the RFQ onto your computer. It's on Social Security's work site. And I always like to warn people that it is a 78-page RFQ BPA, but it's actually not 78 pages of information that you need to complete. You only need to complete Part 5 of the RFQ, which is a total of 16 pages. And this is just filling out general information about your program, who your main signatory authority is, who you would like the beneficiaries to reach out to receive services, and just other general information about your organization. So like I said before, you download the RFQ, and then any general questions about the RFQ or the ticket program, you can feel free to follow up with us here at TASC, or with direct questions about your qualifications to become an employment network, or, for example, the business plan, which is something we'll cover in a little bit. You can follow up with the Employment Network Contracts team, and their contact information is listed for you in the presentation, and it's also on page 2 of the RFQ, which is at the very beginning. And please follow up with them with any direct questions about that as well. And I always like to tell people that when you submit your RFQ to ENCT for review, please either email it or fax it. And like I said, that information is available for you in the presentation and in the RFQ. We ask that you don't mail it, and mainly that's because it takes a little bit longer for it to get to them. And for security reasons, it sometimes doesn't always make it into their hands. So they do accept copies of the signature pages when you submit your RFQ. So what are some of the things that you need prior to completing the RFQ? And this is just some basic stuff that I'm sure a lot of you already have in place, but I just like to reiterate it. You do need, for tax reasons, an employer identification number or a tax ID number. So if you don't, for some reason, have that at this time, you can always contact the IRS and obtain it that way. But this is also very important. You do need to have a DUNS number, which is a Data Universal Numbering System number. And I always warn people that it can take 30 days to obtain that number, but it is free. And it's important because you do need a DUNS number to be able to apply for things like government contracts or federal grants or any of that. And when you do have that DUNS number, your next step is to register it on the Central Contractor Registration website. And mainly because this is a company profile, this profiles your organization, and this is how Social Security will pay you once you become an employment network and you obtain these goals with the beneficiaries you're working with. So it's very important. And then you do also need to have general or professional liability insurance in place, and you need to have a minimum coverage of $500,000 per occurrence, and that must be in effect when you submit your RFQ. So I mentioned qualifications, and as we've spoken about before, in your grant, they do ask you to become an employment network. So that is actually one of the qualifications that is accepted when becoming an EN. So your grant that kind of talks about the services that you're providing and the funding you're receiving for it, you can submit that as one of your qualifications piece. But I'll go over a couple of the other things that they accept as well, because I always tell people it's okay to kind of to send in more than one thing that you're currently doing to really highlight the success that you have. And Social Security asks that all organizations have at least have a minimum of 2 years' experience in providing employment, VR, or other support services to individuals with disabilities. But if you don't have the past 2 years, you can have 3 of the past 5 years. They accept that as well. So including your HBRP grant, you can also submit a license or certification that you've received from the state to provide these services, or you could have evidence of certification or accreditation from a National Rehabilitation Employment Services accrediting body. So the biggest, most well-known one is CARF. You could be CARF accredited and use that as well as a qualifications piece. Or you could also be a vendor with your state VR agency, and that is another proof of qualifications, as well as, like I've said, your HVRP grant, or if you're receiving any other grant funding for programs in which you're providing employment services to individuals with disabilities is accepted as well. And on this qualifications slide in your presentation, I made a note at the bottom that when it comes time for you submitting your RFQ, please refer to page 77 because there is a checklist that kind of talks about everything that you need to submit. And it actually talks about the qualifications piece as well, things you need to submit in that sense. So this year, Social Security developed the RFQ, the request for quotations, and they added some new pieces to that. And you have to provide in the request for quotations, talk a little bit about the significant level of employment services that you as an organization have provided, especially including job placement or equivalent employment support services. And they'd like to see examples for 3 or more individuals with disabilities that you've worked with. So there is a piece in there where you can kind of talk about who you've worked with, how successful you've been with them. And that's the business plan. And the business plan piece is, I'll tell you the page, and you'll see it when you download the RFQ. It's page 10, and it outlines everything that they're looking for in the business plan. So, you know, I tell people to go ahead and follow that and answer all those questions. And this really gives you the opportunity to kind of highlight your success as an organization and what you've done in helping these individuals successfully go back to work. And one of the new things that they did that they asked for all individuals completing the RFQ is to register on ORCA, which is the Online Representation and Certification application. And this is important because it actually used to be listed directly in the RFP, but it is an online application that you can complete. And so you check off in the RFQ that this is that you've completed this ORCA registration as well, and then you should be all set. So I know we've been talking a lot about what the application process is like, and once you become an EN, they do ask your organization to go through a security clearance, and it's pretty simple. Just individuals that are working with directly with the beneficiaries and those who have signed the RFQ, anybody who's handling the beneficiary's personal identifiable information. But when you're submitting the RFQ, this is not something that you need to worry about. This is something that the ENCT will handle directly with you following your award. But if you do have any questions or concerns about that, you can contact us, and we would be happy to provide you with any answers. And there is also an entire section in the RFQ that will provide you with information on what to expect with the security clearance piece. And that is listed for you on the slide where you can find that information. So I know we've been talking about the RFQ, but I just wanted to tell you a little bit about some of the changes, because it used to be that ENs would sign a contract with Social Security, and that's no longer the case. They've developed this RFQ, which is now a BPA, a blank purchase agreement, and one of the good things about the blank purchase agreement is that is actually in place for 10 years, when in fact the contract was only in place for 5 years. So this gives you a little more time to kind of work with us, and then after your 10 years, they'll follow up with you and have you just sign a new agreement. And instead of it being a contract, it's an agreement with Social Security. And we've been talking about resources. And like I said, you can feel free to contact us here at the TAF team if you have any questions or concerns about what the process is like to become an employment network, what to expect after you become an employment network. And the toll-free number that Greg had said to you earlier is also listed on this resources slide in the presentation. We also have the fax number for you. And then our website, which is yourtickettowork.com. And this website will provide you with information about Ticket. There are also some trainings that we have up there as well that you can listen to. And Social Security and Maximus partner during the month. Once a month, they'll host an all-in call, and you can direct any questions to say on that call if you have anything, and they just provide you with updates on things that we're doing with the program. And then we also have a payments call talking about any changes that are going on with payments, because we receive questions about that all the time, because you do join the ticket program to help individuals go back to work, but to also help bring in additional revenue for your organization. And so to kind of wrap things up, and hopefully this hasn't been too overwhelming, we do have a slide in the presentation that provides you with the contact information for your senior account managers. So when you take a look at this slide, it is separated. Each senior account manager covers a set of states. So you'll see that on the slide. So if you have any questions for us, please follow up with your senior account manager, and they would be happy to assist you and put you in the right direction. And we can go ahead and transition into the question and answer part.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad.
Okay, great. Before we actually start that, I did get a question, and I do just want to repeat the phone number for the Task Center for those people who don't have the presentation up in front of them. The toll-free number for that is 1-866-949-3687. Again, the number for TASC, if you don't have the presentation up in front of you, is 1-866-949-3687. And we are ready for the questions.
Your first question comes from the line of Sheldon Vias.
Hi, my question is this. Can a nonprofit organization utilize this program?
Can a nonprofit organization utilize the HVRP or the Ticket to Work?
Ticket to Work.
Yes, as long as you meet the qualifications of the RFQ, you can apply. And, you know, those have been some of the qualifications under the new RFQ are a little different from the previous one, but as long as you meet those, you can be a nonprofit organization and apply, especially if you are a community service provider. You've been providing employment and other support services to individuals with disabilities, and you meet those qualifications. If, you know, it's a great thing if you are CARF accredited and or accredited by similar agencies. So, in short, yes. You're not restricted because you're a nonprofit organization.
And to kind of go off of that as well, as an HVRP grantee, you can submit that as your qualifications as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And at this, now your next question comes from the line of Bette Reed.
Yeah, I was wondering if you could go over more what has to be in the business plan.
Sure. What you're going to expect in the business plan is covering what kind of programs that you currently have or offer that help individuals go back to work, who are some of your key staff that might be working on this program, what you expect to do under the ticket program, so what are your goals as an employment network, and what you'll do to kind of implement that. And it's a lot of it's about I always tell organizations becoming EANs is that one of the great things about it is that we can assist you in implementing Ticket into your existing programs. So any programs that you're currently doing to help individuals go back to work, you can use Ticket as well as a part of that. And like we talked about in our last webinar, the funding is unrestricted because you can implement it into your existing programs. So that's kind of what to expect with the business plan. And when you actually download the RFQ, it'll give you a better idea of what to look for. And it doesn't have to be a 10-15-page document. It only has to be a couple of pages just talking a little bit about your organization's history.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Your next question comes from the line of Patricia Hobson.
Yes. Can you clarify for me more detail on the background and security information that's going to be required?
You'll actually see more detailed information about it. It's in, let me pull up the slide that I have the section. It's in Part 4, Section 3, Letter H of the RFQ, but you're going to just have a basic background check of everyone that at your organization that's working with the beneficiary's personal identifiable information. So it's just filling out, I believe, it's a Form 306, a fingerprint card, which is, it's all very basic, nothing to be too concerned about.
Okay, it is a concern when we might be hiring ex-clients to work here. What if somebody doesn't pass the security clearance?
I'm not sure how Social Security will handle that exactly, but, they don't have to be working specifically on the ticket program. You can find people at your office that do meet the requirements to work with these individuals, but if they don't pass, then they won't be able to participate in ticket.
Hmm.
Were you asking if they didn't meet the requirements, if you could just hire them in general? Because I don't want you to get that confused with, them working on the ticket.
If we have staff here who are working with the client, and then we get them fingerprinted and you tell us that they don't meet security requirements, what are we doing with the staff member if they can't work with the client?
In other words, the issue is
John, you can go ahead and respond to that.
I just want to clarify that if I'm reading correctly in between your lines there, the concern is if a program, an HVRP program, hired a veteran who had a criminal history, for example, and had a conviction for a felony that might have involved, let's just say banking of some kind, might Social Security have a problem with somebody's security clearance who has a felony conviction or a drug-related conviction?
John, can you go ahead and repeat that last statement? About the if somebody has a felony or drug history.
Right. From Social Security's viewpoint in processing security clearance for a staff person, if that staff person has a conviction for a criminal act in their history, could that present a clearance problem?
Now, your best bet if you have any more concerns about the security clearance piece that you go directly to SSA about that, because that isn't something we don't handle, the security clearance piece, so we don't know all the specific details. So we believe that it has to do with something if any of the individuals at your organization have issues of fraud convictions and that kind of thing. SSA does not want those individuals working with the beneficiary's personal identifiable information. But any additional questions about that, following your award, you would follow up with SSA about that.
Okay.
Your next question comes from the line of Emily Stoutenson. Sautzenberger.
Hi, I have a question. Is this a grant? Is this a grant, and is it competitive? Because I was looking on the website, and I see quite a few service providers in my area, but I'm wondering if this is something, if it's competitive based on the amount that's available in the area.
Well, it's not a grant. It's actually a blank purchase agreement that you make with Social Security. And I know it might seem daunting when you look at the website and see that there are a lot of VNs out there, but we always tell people that there are a lot of employment networks, but there are also a lot of ticket holders and a lot of individuals that might be looking for services. So it's not in any way a competition with other organizations. In fact, ENs often partner with each other because they might not be able to provide all the services to a specific individual. And we do have ways that you can split payments and develop agreements that way. So, no, it's not competitive. We encourage as many people we can get to participate in the program just because we don't think there are enough people out there helping these individuals.
And at this time, there are no further questions in queue. At this time, there are no further questions.
Thank you.
If there are no further questions, I wanted to thank everyone for participating today, and particularly thank Greg and Meg and John as well for leading this great presentation. If you do have any questions in the future, you can email any one of us. And again, my email is ksimpson@nchv.org. And John, Greg, and Meg, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Well, I just, again, want to thank the grantees for participating. And like you said, if they have questions, feel free to contact the account managers. I just think this is a great program, and I think it matches so well with the HVRP grant. And, you know, I would just love to see the two just come together. So, but if you have questions, feel free to contact us and let us know, and we will do our best to assist you. Meg?
That's great, Greg. I think that's an agreement. I'd get a lot of agreement from me on that, that the issue of becoming an EN is a little bit challenging, but the benefits of doing so far outweigh those challenges. So I certainly would encourage grantees to move forward on an application, because at the end of the day, we're all concerned around benefiting the participants in the HVRP projects. If you do have a question about the intersection of the ticket program with HVRP services, you can also email the National Veterans Technical Assistance Center at hvrp@law.syr.edu. That's hvrp@law.syr for Syracuse. .edu, where the Technical Assistance Center is located, and we'd be delighted to respond to your questions and assist you in making your EN application along with folks at Maximus and the National Coalition.
Good.
Carrie, I think that about wraps us up for today, a little bit early, but I think we've completed our presentations and there are no more questions. I want to thank everybody for participation in the call.
Yes, thank you, everyone, very much.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.